Now, praise the Lord. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4, please. Tonight we have a message on the main theme of the book, 1 John, which is the love of God. As I've shared, that is the most common word in this book. Over 46 times it occurs. Here in 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 7 tonight, down through verse 10. The Bible says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." So herein is love. That's the title. Let's pray. Lord, give us Your mighty presence tonight and wisdom and guidance as we look to Your wonderful Word and contemplate Your amazing love. I pray, Lord, that it would truly do a mighty work in our lives, that we would have that desire to share that love with the world. And so, Lord, we commit this to You. May You be glorified in this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So there's some great truths here in this passage about the love of God. As you see, because of the love of God, God wants us to love one another, which is the primary theme of 1 John. Even in the Gospel of John, Jesus in John 13 said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you." What made it new was Jesus added the "as I have loved you." Man had always been told to love one another back in Deuteronomy, but "as I have loved you," now it's a new level, if you will, that we're to love one another as we know it says in Ephesians 5:25, as Christ loved the church. As much as God loves us, we're to love one another. And as we saw, look at 1 John 3:11, the Bible says, "This is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." 1 John 3:23, "This is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son Jesus Christ and love one another." That is the primary theme. But we're contemplating tonight the love of God. And notice it says in verse 7, "For love is of God." So the first great truth that we find about the love of God tonight is that God is the source of love. And that's important. You know, we're reminded that the Bible says we're to love one another. According to God's Word, therefore, we can't do that without God's help. Because love is of God. And if it's not God who is flowing His love through us to others, then it's not biblical love. Because love is of God. True love is of God. That's why the Bible says in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is, what's the first one? Love. There's nine, but the first one, love. And then go to Romans 5:5, and we'll see here that love is of God. And if we're going to love the way God wants us to love, then we must be yielded to Him. Notice Romans 5:5, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts," to this next phrase, "by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us." The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So if we don't have the Holy Ghost, then we can't shed abroad the love of God, because it's not there. The source is God. And that's important, that love is of God. And that's the first great truth about the love of God tonight, is that it is of God. So what God is saying is, notice the beginning of verse 8, "He that loveth not knoweth not God." God wants to love the world through us. And of course, loving the unlovely is difficult. But it's a true test of whether or not God's love is flowing through us, whether or not God is in control of our lives. "He that loveth not knoweth not God." When we're not loving, we're not walking with Him. So the great truth, firstly, is that it is of God. But then, secondly, look at verse 8. "For God is love." Now, this is similar but still different. Love is of God, but the reason is because God is the embodiment of love. Think about what that's saying. That God doesn't just love, but God is love. There's a difference. He is true biblical love, which means that true biblical love can only come from the source of the one who is love, which is God. Which means, again, that we cannot love the way God wants us to unless it's with God's help through the person of the Holy Ghost. So God is love. God's love is amazing. Let's look at some verses about it. Deuteronomy chapter 7, of all places, the Pentateuch. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7. Just a couple of attributes about God's love, because we just found out that love is of God and that God is love. Notice Deuteronomy 7:7. The Bible says, "The Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of the bondman from the hand of Pharaoh the king." What we find in this passage is that God's love is unconditional. He's telling Israel, God doesn't love you because of you. God loves you because of Him. And it's the same with us. God doesn't love us because we're so lovable. That's the facts. God loves us because God is love. And that is His nature to love. It's not that we're just so amazing that He has to love us. And it's important for us to keep that perspective. Now we go to Jeremiah 31. We're talking about God's love because God is love and God is the source of love. Let's understand that love a little bit better. So first we see it's unconditional. Secondly, Jeremiah 31:3, the Bible says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therewith with loving kindness have I drawn thee." God's love is not only unconditional, but it's everlasting. It won't stop, in other words. Man's love comes and goes, doesn't it? God's love doesn't do that. God's love is everlasting. How beautiful is that? And how much of a comfort it is to us as God's children. That when He saved us eternally. His love is everlasting. Also, Romans chapter 8. Let's turn there. Very well-known passage about the love of God. If you want a long passage to memorize, but a really good one, this would be a good one to choose. Verses 35 to 39. You'll never regret if you memorize these five verses. Verse 35. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors to him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." God's love is inseparable. Isn't that good news? So it's not only unconditional, everlasting. We just read, what can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? Nothing. Once we are a subject of God's love, it can't be changed. It's inseparable. Praise God. And then one more verse, Ephesians 2. Just a couple of verses about the love of God, the attributes of that love. Because we're told to love one another as God loves us, so it's important for us to understand God's love. Ephesians 2:4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us." So God's love is great. Praise God for His love. So two things we've seen tonight about the love of God. Number one, that love is of God. Number two, that God is love. And then number three, in verse 9, God's love was manifested through Calvary. manifested means displayed, made it available for everyone to see. That's why if someone you find someone questioning the love of God, point them to the cross. Because if they understand Calvary, how can they question the love of God? So God says Himself, in this, verse 9, was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love. Isn't that a good phrase? Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. So, love is of God. God is love. But also, the love of God has been manifested to the world through the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ. So what God is saying, and here's love. You want to see true love? Look at the cross. For God so what? Loved the world. That He gave His only begotten Son. Remember, love is what we do. Love is action. So God manifested His love by doing something. By giving Jesus. Jesus manifested His love by doing something. Right? Husbands, love your wives. Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Jesus did something. His love was manifested through what He did. God gave His Son. Jesus gave Himself. So the love of God, which is the only true love, has been manifested through Calvary. The Bible says in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. There's that connection between love and action again. So, He manifested His love through Calvary. So He must also, therefore, manifest His love to us through what He does. Well, I'm talking about us as His children. Look at Romans 8 again, verse 32 this time, and we'll see that, sure enough, that is the case. That the love of God is displayed through the way He treats us, which is how it should work for us as Christians. It's not that God wants us to go around saying, I love you, although there's nothing wrong with that. He wants us to show it through what we do, which we looked at in chapter 3, remember? Let us not love in word, neither in deed, but what? In truth. And I said it wrong. Let us not love in word nor in tongue, but in deed. That's right, and in truth. I said it totally wrong. So don't love in what you say, but love in what you do, in deed and in truth. All right, so Romans 8:32, what's it say? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us what? All things. Why would God give us all things? Because He loves us. And that's what love does. So God is love. God is the source of love. Love is only of God. And God's love was manifested through Calvary, as was Christ's manifested through Calvary. He finishes there in verse 10 by saying, and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Sounds like an action verb to me. He sent. He gave. Jesus gave Himself. God sent His Son to be the propitiation. That word propitiation means satisfaction or appeasement. Jesus Christ satisfied God's demands for justice, for the sins of man. And only the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ and His blood was sufficient to satisfy those demands. That's why Jesus is referred to as the propitiation or the satisfaction of God's justice. It's not by anything else, but by the blood and sacrifice of Jesus Christ that God's justice could be satisfied. All of that happened because of love. Herein is love, the Bible says. Love is of God. God is love. And God has manifested His love to us through what He did and what He does on a daily basis. Right? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, the Bible says. Every day He blesses us. Why? Because He loves us. And He's showing that love through what He does. What does He say, therefore, at the beginning of our passage? Beloved, let us love one another. Let us love one another that way, as God has loved us. So herein is true love. It's found nowhere else but in our Creator and what He did. Let's pray.